John chapter 6, beginning at verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew, so that when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Dennis Avery, music minister at St. Paul's Church of Christ, was walking into the third and fourth grade Sunday school wing, checking up on their song service that Sunday morning. And as he walked in, he heard the president of that class, a little 9-year-old boy, stand up and pray, Dear God, bless our mothers and our fathers. And God bless our sisters, and bless our brothers, and bless the teachers. And oh, by the way, God, take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we're all sunk. How true. Life, as you have discovered, is not always smooth sailing. Storms come our way unexpectedly. Storms come our way with real regularity. And the storms which come our way, like any storm on any sea, have a purpose. They develop good sailors and they reveal great captains. Storms are necessary in developing good sailors and revealing great captains. And our captain, Jesus Christ, is great indeed. He is unsinkable. He's not going down. And the text before us, the story in front of us, makes that very clear to you and me. That Jesus, our Lord, our friend, is our Savior in the storm, who will come when the hour is darkest, when the danger is greatest. But I want you to see something else here this morning. And that is this, that Jesus Christ is not only the Savior in the storm, but he is also the sender of the storm. Jesus is not only the Savior in the storm, you know that, but he is also sender of the storm. For you see, in Matthew's gospel, telling of this same story, Matthew says that Jesus commanded them to cross the sea, to leave where they were presently and get into a boat and cross the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus, of course, knowing all the while that a storm would be coming. Jesus sent them into the storm. Jesus knew they would be struggling, battling that storm. And yet, Jesus not only would eventually come and save them from the storm, but initially he sent them into the storm. Indeed, he is the creator of those storms in our lives. Now you say, why would the Lord, why would our friend, why would Jesus, who is our Savior in the storm, be the sender of the storm that I'm going through presently? Why would he allow the winds to beat on my little boat and the waves to crash all around me? I would like to suggest to you this morning four reasons why Jesus Christ, our captain, our Savior in the storm, is also the sender of the storm. First of all, number one, He sends the storm to give us new direction. He sends the storm to give us new direction. Psalms 107 tells us about that. You know the passage. It's an important one. In Psalm 107, it talks about the greatness of the sea, the beauty therein. In verse 23, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Those that go into the sea and under the sea, man, they have a perspective on the Lord's creativity unlike those that have not had that experience. If you've been skin diving, you know what the psalmist is saying. The colors and the beauty underneath the surface of the ocean, phenomenal, the pinks and the purples. Especially in the tropical waters, the fluorescent colors. It's absolutely mind-boggling. It's beautiful. All of the colors and the life forms and the fish. If you've been skin diving, perhaps you've examined some life forms. Perhaps you've seen jellyfish. You know what's in the middle of a jellyfish? A jelly button. No. But the life forms and the colors and the... That I know. That one smelt. Oh. And the psalmist here is saying, those that go down into the deep, man, they see the creativity of the Lord and His wondrous works. And then he goes on to say in verse 25, the Lord commands and raises up the stormy wind, which lifts the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. That is, these sailors on those boats. Their soul is melted because of the trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men, and they come to their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. He then makes the storm calm, so the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. The Lord creates the storms to cause those sailors, those proud, self-sufficient individuals, to come to their wits' end, to stagger on the decks like drunken men, and finally cry out to the Lord that He then might intervene and bring them into the safe haven. And so too with you and with me. Times in our pride and pomposity, we thought, hey, we're captain of our ship. We're master of our fate. And we're doing our thing, and suddenly a storm unexpectedly and savagely comes into our lives. And we find ourselves insufficient and not capable of navigating it very well. And we find ourselves then finally calling out to the Lord, who we had no time for previously, or didn't think we had need of individually. It's in the storm when people are saved so very often. The book of Romans, Paul says, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Oh, that's ideal. When people just see the goodness of God, His creativity, the work He did on Calvary, and they respond to that, but that's not always the way it works practically. Sometimes people don't respond to God's goodness. And so He must deal with them more roughly to get their attention. And the waves rise and the wind blows and the storm rages. And suddenly a man comes to his wit's end and he cries out to the Lord. Let me tell you, gang. God is more concerned about your eternal state than He is about your present comfort. Well, if God is so good, why isn't there smooth sailing in my life? How come they fired me? How come she left me? How come it's not working out for me? Because it could be that the Lord is wanting to save you from eternal damnation, from hell. And consequently, to get your attention, He must send the storm exactly as the psalmist says, that you might finally come to your wit's end. You might have saw the story there in Kilgore, Texas, a year or so ago. A man was rescued from an automobile crash. As his car crashed into a telephone pole, some passers-by saw his car wrapped around the pole, and they took the man out of his car. Of course, he was unconscious, and they took him to the closest nearby gas station that was just a half a block away. And at the gas station, they then called for the ambulance. But the guy found himself coming to when he was there at the gas station. And he looked around and suddenly tried to stand up, and he struggled. And those fellas that rescued him had to hold him down. With incredible strength, he tried to get out of their grasp, and they finally subdued him, and he went unconscious once more. And then the ambulance came, and later on he explained when he was asked, "What were you doing? Why were you struggling?" You see, the gas station they went to was a Shell station. And one of the fellows was standing right in front of the S. And this guy wakes up and he thinks he's in hell. And he wants to get out, man. Sometimes the Lord may have to put us in a crash, a difficulty, a shocking situation to get your attention, because He's more concerned about your eternal state than He is about your present comfort. And what does it profit a man, Jesus said, if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? He sends storms to bring you to your wit's end, that you might finally call upon Him, and that He might then bring you into the desired haven, and that haven is heaven. Heaven. Number two. Not only do storms come our way, does He send us the storm to give us new direction, but also to give us necessary correction. To give us necessary correction. Oh, ask Brother Jonah about that. He understands. Jonah was told to go up to the city of Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, that he might preach, that they might, there in Nineveh, see the error of their way and turn to God. God wanted to use Jonah greatly. But Jonah, you know the story. He headed off in the opposite direction, and it said, Jonah arose to flee unto Tarshish and went down to Joppa. And indeed, he's going down. He goes down to Joppa. He was supposed to go up to Nineveh. Instead, he goes down to Joppa. And what happens there? He found a ship going to Tarshish in the opposite direction. So he paid the fare thereof, and indeed he was going to pay the fare. You pay the price, gang. And it says, then he went down into the ship. So first he goes down to Joppa, then he finds a ship. By the way, let me say this about that. If you want to run from the presence of the Lord, Satan will always have a ship right there ready for you to board. Interesting how that works. Whenever you want to backslide, whenever you want to turn away, whenever you want to carnal out, whenever you want to return back to the world for a little journey, guess who is there in port with ship, all set to go? He's ready. Satan never says, you want to backslide? Where's a ship? Where's a ship? He's already got the ships in port, engines revved up, or sails set to go, whatever the case might be. He's already, did you know right now Satan already has a ship waiting for you if you want to jump on it? The minute I start to think, man, I'm going to check out and carnal out, there's a ship. But the problem is you pay for it. Jonah had to pay the full fare, and man, he did. And now he pays the price. And it says he goes down into the ship. And again, you know the story. The storm comes, and they throw him overboard, and he goes down into the sea. Down to Joppa, down into the ship, down into the sea where he's swallowed by a great fish, probably a whale, and ends up in the belly. And then in chapter 2 of Jonah, he confesses that he has gone down into the mountains. I went down to the bottom of the mountains, even to the place of hell. Down, 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 down. Let me tell you something. When you're going down, the Lord might send that storm to get you back on track once more. Correction. He has to. Because Satan will always be ready to take you down. The Lord then says, I'm going to send a storm to wake you up. God wasn't through with Jonah, and he's not through with you, and he's not through with me. And when he sees us going in the wrong direction, there was a guy I was talking to a number of years ago now, and he was telling me, wow, John, I was supposed to be on this diet. I thought the Lord spoke to my heart about this diet that I was supposed to be on to help my emotions and my blood sugar and stuff like that. And I had this craving for donuts. True story. I have this craving for donuts, he said. And so I thought, well, Lord, if you want me to have a donut, if this is your will, then Lord, allow me to find a parking place right in front of the pastry shop. And he says, John, it was amazing. After the third time around the block, there it was, an open spot right there. Maybe some of you are going around the block right now saying, well, now, Lord, if you want me to get involved with him, or if you want me to go to that place, and you're driving and, wow, amazing, there he is, or there she is, or there it is, or whatever. It must be God's will. Satan always has a ship ready, man. And you pay the price thereof, and you go down, 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 down. And so a storm came up that Jonah might be once again dealt with and given the necessary correction. Number 3, quickly. The Lord, not only the Savior in the storm, but the sender of the storm, that he might, one, give us new direction if you're not saved, if you're not born again. Number 2, give us necessary correction. If you're going in the wrong way, man, a storm will come just like it did in Jonah's situation to get you back on track, to get you back to Nineveh, to get you back in ministry, to get you back with effectiveness in service. Number 3, to give us needed protection. Continuing the alliteration there, to give us needed protection. What do you mean? There in John chapter 6, the people had just been fed incredibly. They had been fed and glutted, as we'll see Wednesday night. They were satiated. They were satisfied. And they said, hey, you be our king. Free bread, man. What a welfare program. Ideal. Primo. You've got the power to overthrow the Romans. Oh, Jesus. You've got the power to free us politically and to feed us materially. You be our king. And Jesus knew that this was trouble for they were thinking political. They were thinking temporal. They were thinking material. And so Jesus told his disciples, get out of here. Because this is going to sound good to you. It's going to sound like this is the moment that we were waiting for. And working towards. They want to make you king, Jesus. This is it. This is great. It's the climax of our ministry. It's the fulfillment of our dreams. Oh, excellent. But Jesus knew something that they didn't know, and that is his kingdom was not material or political or temporal. It's eternal and spiritual. And for Jesus to protect them from going in the wrong way, even in what they perceived was ministry, he got their minds off of their discussion and excitement about, oh, they want to make him king. And now they're out at sea, struggling and fighting as the hours go on. It's dark. And Jesus is up on the mountain, Matthew tells us, looking down and praying for them, and will eventually come out and be a rescuer to them. But he had to get their minds off of the material, the temporal, the political. And the best way to do that was to give them a storm. It was for their own good. In Virginia, Fairfax County, their fire department just got a new shipment of high-tech helmets. They're brightly colored, scuff-resistant, adjustable straps, space-age design. I mean, it is an incredible work of art, and each helmet costs close to $500. Latest technology, high tech, you see, but there is only one problem. When it gets next to heat, it melts. It looked good. It had all the latest gizmos and gadgets, but guess what? It couldn't take the heat. It's a waste of money. They had to junk them. And sometimes I think the Lord has to say to you and me, what are you doing? Johnny, what are you doing? You're building your little kingdom. You're getting your house together and your car all shiny, and you're all involved in this gadget and that gizmo and hobby and activity and woo. And it's not going to take the heat. It's going to burn. It's not going to last, John. It's not going to last. And your energy and your money and your priority is going in the wrong direction. It's political, it's material, it's temporal, and it's not going to stand in the day of the judgment seat of Christ, when all of our lives are tested with the fire of judgment, and that which is wood, hay, and stubble will burn, and that which is gold, silver, and precious stones, hey, that'll remain. So what does the Lord do? He says, John, I'm going to have to get your mind off of this political, material, temporal kingdom and send you into a storm. And you're going to be in that storm and wrestling with issues and struggling with difficulties and toiling at the oars. And I'm going to come and meet you eventually, John. I ever live, Hebrews tells us. I ever live, Jesus would say, to make intercession for you. I am looking down and watching over you and praying for you. I am living right inside of you. But John, it's a struggle that you're going to have to go through to get your mind off of the temporal, the political, the material, and deal with the big issues. It was for their protection. And you might wonder, why am I going through this? Ah! And you're freaking out and you're fearful in the storm, but the Lord might be saying it's because you've had the entire wrong set of priorities and it's not going to hold up, not in the heat of eternity. And I love you too much to let you waste your time on those helmets. They look fancy, but they're not going to do the job, not in eternity. And I love you too much for that. Finally, fourthly, and then we're done. The sender of the storm to give us new direction . Number two, to give us necessary correction . Number three, protection, needful protection . And finally, to give us nurturing perfection . Number four. You see, I find it to be extremely curious and very intriguing that Jesus had just fed 5,000 people and then sent his disciples into a storm. It was nurturing them, perfecting them for what would happen once he did indeed leave them and ascend, not just to the mountain, but up into heaven. Read your Bibles. In Acts chapter 4, we see 5,000 mentioned once more. Not 5,000 being fed physical food, but 5,000 being saved. And immediately after the 5,000 were saved, the storm of persecution broke out, and they were, those disciples, cast into prison. Talk about a storm. Talk about difficulty. They underwent difficult persecution. And the storm that they went through in John 6, physically, for a couple of hours there on the Sea of Galilee, was simply nurturing them to perfection, to ready them for what would happen. Not 5,000 being fed and then a physical storm, but 5,000 being saved, and then comes the storm of persecution. And the Lord sees what's coming in my direction. He sees what tomorrow holds, my captain. And he might say to me, John, as difficult as this might seem, it's absolutely necessary to prepare you and to perfect you for what is coming. So what should I do? Should I freak out? Should I give up? Should I turn back? Should I take a ship in the opposite direction? Should I backslide? Should I say, well, let's go carnal out? I suggest to you a better way. I suggest to you to follow the example of the disciples in staying the course. And Jesus will come your way. It might be at a dark hour. It might be in a difficult time. But he'll come your way and he'll say, be of good cheer. It is I. He'll see you through. Be of good cheer. I mean, these guys are freaking out. And Jesus says, cheer up. I'm here. I was watching you all along. I was praying for you all the time. And now I'm coming to you at the right moment. And so too with you. He will come, and immediately the ship was at the other side. Not only did Jesus our Lord calm the sea physically, but he obliterated the time-space continuum. He collapsed it. And suddenly they are in the harbor on the other side. Guess what? You'll be there too, both now and eternally. You know, we're going to be in heaven soon. And you're going to be thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for sending me in that storm to protect me from trinketry, from gadgetry, from dumb stuff materially, from wasting my time relationally. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sending the storm because it gave new direction. It was when I was at my wit's end that I finally saw the light and called upon your name and was born again. Thank you, Lord, for the storms that corrected me to get me back to Nineveh. And thank you, Lord, for the storms that were nurturing perfection in me. Because now I see, had I not gone through some storms when I was 17 and 18 and 22, I could not have weathered the storms at 27 and 28 and 30. I couldn't have done it. And it's hot, and I won't waste any more time to tell you my own story. Suffice it to say, there were storms I went through early that were absolutely necessary for the storms that would then come a decade later, you see. And I tell you the truth, the storms that you and I are going through right now are necessary for us to be able to navigate what is coming our way. So rejoice. Don't freak out. Get saved if you're not. Get right if you're not. Get free from the trinketry if you're caught up in that presently. And get understanding. Embrace the storm, knowing that it's going to be necessary for what's coming. Hey, be of good cheer. The Savior of the storm is also the sender of that storm. Be of good cheer. I'm glad we have Captain Jesus. Because if anything happened to him, we'd all be sunk. Shall we stand together?